Jesus said, you can tell a tree by its fruit. What wonderful fruit Soul Survivor produces. Amen. For many years. This is not fruit, these are Cool Mint Matchmakers. Anyone like Cool Mint Matchmakers? Jenny's, Jackie's hand up first. Okay.
I used to pay attention,
doesn't it? It does, yeah. All right. Well, I hope to teach something this morning that we can implement on a regular, an every week basis here at The Green. I hope to lay the foundation this morning for something that will change the way we, only slightly, but change the way we do things on a Sunday morning, and maybe in other gatherings too. Now, what I'm going to teach and implement isn't new to us, but at the same time it is new to us. It's not something that we're not used to, but at the same time we're not used to it. If you see what I mean. So if you're intrigued, then pay attention. But I want to start with a question, first of all. And the question is, according to Scripture, where is Jesus currently? Here? You point into your heart. Right hand of the Father. So how is that possible? How can he be seated at the right hand of the Father, and yet the Bible says God sent his Spirit of his Son into your hearts? It said, Jesus said, and we've heard the scripture quoted this morning, where two or three gathered, there I am with you, in the midst of you. So how is that possible that Jesus can be seated at the Father in heaven and in believers and with us at the same time? Yeah. He's God. Okay. Basically, I think Scripture explains that it's his Spirit. By his Spirit, he can be everywhere. The presence of Jesus can be in two places or more than one place at once. So, the second question I have is, what do these three words have in common? What do these three words have in common? Para. Yeah. They all have or start with the word para. Okay. What does the word para mean? Anyone know? Anyone know their Greek? It's a Greek word. Para means to. Alongside, to come alongside or to be next to or to be with. Okay? So that's why you have the word parachute, because someone has a chute with them. Okay? That's why you have the word parallel, because something is going alongside something else. Parallel parking, or a parallelogram, or a parallel thing, two lines going in parallel beside each other, alongside. And paragraph, which is words or sentences all together. So that's why we have these English words with the word para at the front, to come alongside, to be with. Okay? So, let's turn to, it'll be on your screen as well, but if you want to turn to your Bibles, John 14, verse 15 to 18. We're laying the foundation of something that hopefully the leadership team, the ministry team and myself would like to implement as part of our culture here at The Green. John 14, verse 15. Jesus speaking. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. What does that one say? Another advocate. Yes, yeah, some people's versions will have another comforter, counselor, helper, friend. So, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, counselor, helper, friend. So if Jesus is promising them another, then who is their current advocate or their current counselor, their current friend? He is. So Jesus is saying, he's basically saying, I'm going away. He's just explained to them, I'm going away. But when I do, I'll ask the Father and he'll send you another one just like me. Let's read on. Or verse 16 repeated, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now the world standards go along with seeing is believing. Whereas when it comes to the Holy Spirit, often it's believing is seeing. The world cannot accept him, the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I think it was our very own James Allen over there, who when he taught a few months ago, he said, Jesus came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And then they sent the Holy Spirit to be God in us. So let's go back to verse 16 and look at that word advocate or helper or counselor or comforter or friend or whatever you've got there. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Do you know what word Jesus used to describe or say the word advocate, counselor, helper? Do you know what Greek word is there? Yes. The word para. I've got kletos, okay? Parakletos or paraclete. Notice that word para again, which means to be with, to come alongside, okay? And kletos means one who is sent. So that's the word that is used there. I will send you another advocate or helper or counselor. The actual Greek word, original word, is I'll send you a parakletos, another parakletos, one who is sent to be with you, to be alongside. And so we translate it as the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate. Okay. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to be another parakletos, to replace him as their parakletos. The Holy Spirit is going to come to be everyone's parakletos, the one sent to be with, to be alongside. Now, I haven't done it for you, because there's too many of you, but when I was pastor of a smaller congregation, I made a bookmark for everyone, and I laminated it. And you might have got one, Linda, I'm not sure, all those years ago. But I've called it the gift of the Holy Spirit. And basically, I've listed all the places where kind of different characteristics of the Holy Spirit are mentioned in Scripture. And I'll read some to you. I mentioned the one we just mentioned. He's also called the teacher and the reminder. He testifies about Jesus. He guides into all truth. He gives power. He speaks through people. He strengthens and encourages. He speaks to people. He sends people. He prevents things from happening. He's the Spirit of Jesus. He enables tongues and prophecy. He compels and he warns. He fills our hearts with God's love. He testifies to your spirit. He prays for you. He reveals God's plan. He explains Scripture. He dwells in people. He helps you to declare Jesus is Lord. He works for the common good. He gives gifts. He offers a drink. He gives life. He transforms. He calls out in you, Abba, to God. He produces fruit in you. He enables access to God. He's a seal of God's promise to you. He fills people. He sanctifies people. He wrote the Bible. He gives new birth. And he makes us one with God. I realize that I haven't actually covered the Old Testament and what it says about the Holy Spirit. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't his work, who he is, wonderful? And he's the one who's been sent. He's the another parakletos that Jesus was talking about. So in the Bible, when are we first introduced to Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, as he's often referred to. Genesis chapter 1, verse. Let's go there, shall we? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. He's actually mentioned in verse 2. We will start at verse 1. In the beginning, God. Now, I'm going to argue that God is actually representing the Father, because we're just about to be introduced to the Spirit and then to the Son. So, in the beginning, God, and I'm saying that's probably representing God the Father, created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering. Not hovering, as I joked to myself. He was hovering over the waters. Now, I've got written down in my Bible in pencil, don't forget the end of this sentence. And the Spirit of God was hovering. If there seems to be darkness in your situation, darkness was over the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering. If there seems to be darkness over circumstances, don't forget that darkness does not have the end of the sentence. The end of the sentence is, and the Spirit of God was hovering, waiting to do something. Okay. Anxiety might be present in your situation, but, and the Spirit of God. Okay. So interestingly, I think we've met two of the Trinity. In verse 1, the Father. In verse 2, the Spirit. Do we meet Jesus in verse 3? Yeah, I think so. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And who came years later and said, I am the light of the world? I mean, I know God was talking about light. But actually, I think the Father right then and there was declaring, Jesus is coming! Okay. So, go back to verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, you can have Jackie's chocolatey minty things, if you can tell me, because they won't, so don't worry. Okay. Can you tell me what the Greek word for that word hovering is? Okay. Your chocolates are safe. It's rakaf or rachaf or something. I'm not going to write it down. But it means to move or to brood. To move or to brood. That's what the Hebrew word was there. To move or to brood. He was hovering, brooding, moving over the waters. Now, sometimes when people get near a baby, men and women, we say, oh, you're getting broody. Don't get broody. You know that feeling where you actually want to take the baby, put it in your handbag and take it home? No, never done that. No. Okay. It speaks of maternal instincts, wanting to love, wanting to care for, wanting to smother, really, with love. That's what that word means, brooding. That's what the Holy Spirit was doing over the waters. He was brooding, getting broody. It speaks of a maternal instinct to nurture, to protect, and to cover with love. And that's what the Holy Spirit was doing. Now, that same Greek word for hovering, brooding, is only used two other times in the Bible. And here's one of them, and you don't have to turn there, and I didn't think I gave it to you a list, so just listen to it in the Amplified Version. This is speaking about God looking out for Israel. As an eagle that protects its nest, that flutters over its young, that's the same word there, mean to kind of flutter, to look after, to brood around. He spread out his wings and took them. He carried them on his pinions. So here again, we get a picture of God being broody, wanting to kind of like shelter and protect and nurture his people. That's the nature of the Parakletos, the Spirit of God, broody, mothering, kind of, you know, nurturing, protecting. And so here we are introduced to the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1 with this brooding excitement of what he's going to make. But the next time the Holy Spirit is mentioned, it has quite sad connotations. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. This is the next time the Spirit of God or Holy Spirit is actually mentioned in the Bible. Genesis 1, he's brooding. Genesis 6, verse 3. This is when God sees the evil of mankind, and it says his heart is grieved. God's heart is grieved at the evil of mankind. Genesis 6, verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive. Other versions have contend with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. So, the beginning, the Holy Spirit was brooding. Now, because of the evil of mankind, the Holy Spirit is contending with people. He's striving. He's at strife with them. He's pleading. It's wrestling. Isn't that awful? That the wonderful Parakletos nature of the Holy Spirit, brooding, exciting, is now in strife, contending with, struggling with the very creation he created. Isn't that awful? Centuries later, Jesus would stand looking over Israel and say, I think we're going to get this on the screen, Matthew 23, 37, you don't have to turn there. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Can you hear the heart of God? Can you hear the struggle of the Holy Spirit saying, I'm a brooding nature, and yet because of your rejection, your behavior, I'm striving with you, I'm struggling, I'm in contention with you. How I've longed to gather you together, brood over you once more, but you were not willing. The true heart of God, because in the Old Testament, God can seem quite bad, in a bad light, can't he? Wrath, judgment, a side order of plagues and stuff like that. But what we actually see upon deeper understanding is human beings rejecting the Parakletos. That's what we see. What happens when mankind rejects the Parakletos, the brooding nature of the Holy Spirit? We see contention, striving. The true heart of God from the beginning has been to be alongside his people, to be with them. Exodus 29, it says, they will, 40, verse 46 for you, Jackie, 29, 46. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I want to be with them. I don't want to be striving with them, contending. I want to be brooding, protecting, gathering. Okay. And yet, in the Old Testament, we do see God working by his Spirit in people. It's scattered and often individuals, but we do see God still getting on with people, nurturing, but not as much as he wants to. And we see people choosing to follow him and humbly drawing near to him. Because did God say, if you draw near to me, I shall draw near to you? He's that kind of God. It also says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The Parakletos resists the proud, but he can give grace to the humble. And because of the mercy and love of God, we do see Holy Spirit working, God at work in people in the Old Testament. And often it's those that humbled themselves and drew near. You know, in my Bible, a few years ago, I highlighted every word that said spirit in it. So I flicked through every highlighted pink bit with the Holy Spirit or Spirit mentioned in it. And I made a list of times when the Holy Spirit is mentioned on people's lives in the Old Testament. First of all, it was Joseph. And it was actually Pharaoh who recognized, surely the Spirit of his God is upon him. Noah. It's the first time since Holy Spirit was mentioned in Noah that Joseph has the Holy Spirit on him. And then Moses. Moses is someone that God put his Spirit on. Bezalel, something like that. You know, the guy who is actually gifted in doing craft work and skills and making all the bits and pieces for the tabernacle. It said, God said, I've put my Spirit on him to have skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Aren't we grateful that we've got our own Spirit-filled craftsmen working out there as well? Yeah. The next after him was Moses had 70 elders, and it said God took the Spirit from him and he put it on the 70 elders too. Okay. Next after that was Joshua. The Holy Spirit was on him. And then Gideon, the Spirit came on him and led the army into battle. Then Jephthah, a warrior, the Spirit came on him to lead people into battle. Samson, the Spirit was upon him. King Saul, the Spirit came upon him, caused him to prophesy, and God said, when the Spirit comes on you, you'll be a changed person, which happened. Sadly, later on, the Spirit left him. King David, the Spirit was upon him, it's mentioned. King Saul's men, who came to kill David, end up prophesying because the Spirit came upon them. Elijah, it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Amasai, one of King David's 30 warriors, the Spirit moved him, and he did something. And then there's Azariah, son of Obed. The Spirit came on him and he prophesied to King Asa. Jehaziel, the Spirit came on him and he spoke on behalf of God to King Jehoshaphat and the people. Zechariah, the Spirit of God came on him and he spoke to the people on God's behalf. Isaiah, it says the Spirit of God came upon him. Ezekiel lifted Ezekiel up. The Spirit lifted him up and showed him somewhere in a vision. Daniel, it was King Nebuchadnezzar who recognized the Spirit of the gods is upon this man. And then Micah, the Holy Spirit coming on Micah, the prophet. But that's it. That's all the times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Old Testament. And it's normally on individual people at scattered times. That doesn't mean that God wasn't moving if the Holy Spirit wasn't particularly mentioned, because he was. But when it comes to the Parakletos, it was scattered with individuals. And then there was about 400 years of what it seemed like heaven had shut up shop. Then all of a sudden, 400 years, Jesus appeared. The one whom Isaiah had written, the suffering servant whose wounds would bring us peace. Peace with God. It was the Messiah who would have the Spirit upon him without limit. And he would begin to preach the good news to the poor. He would start to heal the broken hearts, proclaim freedom to the captives, release people from the grip of darkness. He'd bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. And, as John the Baptist correctly declared, he's going to come and he's going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Finally, after all those years of waiting, since the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Joel, in Joel 2, sorry, turn there. Joel 2, verse 28. Finally, the wonderful, brooding, nurturing Holy Spirit could come in the way that he wanted to come to his people. And not just some, but it says on all flesh. Joel 2, verse 28 and 29. And afterwards, it says, after what? When Jesus comes, he dies, he pays the price for sin, he's resurrected and he descended and he sent the Spirit. And afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Oh, I've been longing to do this. I've been longing to gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks, but you are not willing. All people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. That sons, daughters, old, young, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. The Parakletos is coming. And at Pentecost, he came. The Parakletos came, able to brood once more, to nurture, to bind up, to heal, to lead. A partnership once more. And the Spirit of God hovered. And the book of Acts is a record of Holy Spirit's new era of ministry among his creation. Instead of striving, he can now brood over and in and with once more over all flesh or all people. At the end of Peter's first public sermon at Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said this, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call." And then we see the disciples and the early church ministering that gift of the Holy Spirit to others. And often they would lay hands on people and the Holy Spirit would come on the people and start to affect them. But one account really demonstrates the kind of the hovering, the brooding, nurturing nature or the broodiness of the Parakletos. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it in Acts 10:44. Normally, Holy Spirit waited until one of the disciples laid hands on them, then they filled the Holy Spirit. But it says here, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, the Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and praising God." Holy Spirit couldn't even wait for Peter to finish before he laid his hands on him. He just suddenly just started filling them, affecting them. Because he's broody. That's his nature. No more striving because of what Jesus has done. I can come and nurture. I don't know how many of us were here when James Allen, he's gone out now, he's disappeared. Perhaps he knew I was going to mention him again. But wasn't it wonderful to have James come back and preach a couple of months ago? Especially for those, I guess, that have seen him grow up and then come and just witness the fruit of the Holy Spirit in him, with him, through him. Well, before James came and spoke, I actually went to Soul Survivor Church where he's been doing an internship for the last year. And I witnessed for myself the amazing thing that is Soul Survivor. I thought Soul Survivor was just a summertime festival. But actually, no, Soul Survivor is a church in Watford. And from that church, they do run youth camps each year. Now, Soul Survivor Church started as a church plant with 11 people. Mike Pilavarci was the youth worker, youth leader at St. Andrew's Chorleywood, an Anglican church in Chorleywood. And he planted a church with a heart specifically for young people and young adults. And they started with 11 people. And I don't know how many thousands, hundreds of thousands they have on a Sunday. But you know how many young people they serve. 30,000 was it each year in their camps and the fruit of that. So I went and witnessed it for myself and I experienced what I'm just about to share with you. And I said to James, from all your experience in this year and the knowledge that you have of Green Street Green Baptist Church as well, would you come and talk to the ministry team about your experience and just what God has been doing and anything that's in your heart that you feel that we should hear? So we did. He talked on one subject, pretty much. And that was Soul Survivor's style of prayer ministry. Now, when we come and we have our youth come back each year, filled with the Holy Spirit, just raring to go, that doesn't mean that they kind of continue in that kind of, that filled kind of excitement atmosphere. But we think, crikey, what happened? What kind of holy, roly, clappy, happy kind of wow experience, smoke machine, wonderful thing have they kind of experienced? But actually, Soul Survivor's style that they've adopted of prayer ministry is completely the opposite. And yet it has so much of an impact on the people that are prayed for in that way. So James came in his chair for about 2.5 hours, didn't he? Yep, to the ministry team and to Katie and Becky, and about his passion for prayer ministry and how it's affected him and how he's been on the both sides of it. And we thought, we think that God is saying this is something for the green to adopt as a weekly habit, a culture. So I'll try and quickly share with you their style. Okay. First of all, very, very, very quickly, sorry, Luke 11. Turn to Luke 11, verse 9. Got to get some more scripture. Got to get some more scripture and got to get the foundation right. Luke 11, verse 9. Jesus just taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. So he said to them this very short kind of pattern and then talks a bit more about prayer. Luke 11, verse 9 says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" It's as if Jesus is saying, whenever you're asking for, seeking or knocking for, the answer is in the Parakletos. The answer is in the Holy Spirit. Now you might say, well, I already have the Holy Spirit. How can I have more of the Holy Spirit? If I had a little speaker playing music right now, and it's very, very low. Have you got all of the music in the room? Yes, it's there. You got the music. The whole tune is playing. You just can't hear it very well. So it's like if I turn up the volume, you can then hear more clearly, can't you? So I think what we're really asking is not, you know, Holy Spirit, I haven't got you yet. Will you please come? But actually, God, turn up the volume. I want to hear more. I want to see more. Whatever you want. Jesus said, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, here is the simple way that Soul Survivor has just discovered that's one way God powerfully works in people's lives. And it is basically at the end of every service, they will have a time where people can come and respond, whether it's to the message, whether it's to something else that someone said, "I really feel, has anyone got any issues with this particular thing here? Please, we'd love to pray for you. Please come to the front." And that's why we cleared a couple of rows of chairs, which is going to be part of our adoptive style now. We're going to have space. Because you create space for what you love. And we're creating practical space and time space for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. His nurturing, protecting, healing, sending out, talking nature. So we're going to give the Holy Spirit space to do what he wants to do. And we'll ask people to come to the front, which we're known to do occasionally. Why the front? Is there anything special about the front? No. Yeah, it's where I am. But it's so we can see who wants to be prayed for. Plus, there's something humbling about actually getting up and coming forwards. There's an act of faith involved as well on your behalf, thinking, I believe God can do something, and I'm willing to actually stand up and come to the front. And then what happens is, hi guys, you might recognize what I'm trying to describe here because you've probably experienced it yourselves. Okay? I'm trying to introduce, I mean, it's for your benefit as well, isn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful to experience the same manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the same work of the Holy Spirit in your lives each week and continuing, rather than having this kind of like, whoa, soul survivor, and then slowly life kind of gets a bit harder, doesn't it? Yeah, and the whiz starts to come, kind of disappear. So whoever wants prayer comes to the front. Am I getting it right so far? Yeah? Okay. And then we have the prayers. Now, we don't have a special team of prayers this way, because you're all prayers. If you're born again, if you're a Christian, you're a child of God, you can pray. Okay? And this is an easy prayer. All right? So, the people come to the front. Maybe, maybe not. And then, what we hope is at least one person, but hopefully two, will see someone who's come to the front and just come up gently and just stand with them. Mike, would you like to come up the front, please, and be prayed for? Okay. Right. Cephas and David, would you come up, please? So we've seen someone. I think you'll be facing, you probably come up there and be facing the front when you normally.
Okay.
There we go. And so, very gently, what do you think? What did you see at Soul Survivor? What happened to Soul Survivor? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. David, you want to come the other side? Okay. Now, when they came up and they stood at the front and they put their hand on the shoulder, what amazing, fantastic, wonderful prayers. Long prayers, did they say?
No, they were little quick ones.
Little quick ones, like...
They're just asking for the Lord to come and touch them.
Yeah, okay. This is the simple ministry of the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is, we don't have to say anything much to begin with, because Holy Spirit's the hoverer. He's the brooder. He's the nurturing one, okay? So... we just ask, Holy Spirit, please have your way. Lord Jesus, what do you want to do? Whatever it is that you just gently... And the idea is we give space for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. Maybe 5 minutes. And in that time, that person there will encourage them to just receive. And you might want to say every now and again, just receive more, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Just gentle prayers. And so the person who's being prayed for is expecting God to do something. Maybe something that they're experiencing and aware of, maybe something very gentle that you can't even see. But when we pray for someone, nothing never happens. God is always working and doing something. He might be working on you. You're praying for someone and he's working and speaking to you. So we have a time of giving space to the Holy Spirit, honouring him, saying, actually, you know what you want to do. The person might have come up because they've got a painful ankle. But that might not be what the Holy Spirit wants to say to them and deal with them. It might be. We don't know. So we give the Holy Spirit space, the Parakletos, the space, to come and do what he wants to do. But whilst we're praying, the person is receiving and waiting. What the prayers are doing, did they have their eyes closed or did they have them open?
Open?
Praying with your eyes open? If you do healing on the streets, it's a very hard thing to do, but you're encouraged to do it because as the prayers, you're supposed to be just gently, because hopefully the person is not embarrassed and they've probably got their eyes closed. Okay? So you can look at them with a gentle open eyes. What are you looking for, guys? See if anything's happening. What might be happening? He's going to fall over. Okay. All right. He might do. Okay. But when we put our hands on someone, what we careful not to do?
Overpower
and push them. Okay. We don't want to force anyone over because, the Holy Spirit kind of, you haven't had the Holy Spirit unless you fall over. That's not true. Because as we've heard from other people's testimony, I felt such a warm feeling inside me. And as I went out, I just couldn't stop myself talking and just sharing and encouraging other people. Or I started crying. The Holy Spirit can do so many different things because he knows. Okay. So yes, so don't be surprised if someone starts to, whoa, because that might be how they're effective, but not all the time. So we don't try and push people. We don't force them, but we gently put our hands on them because it's scriptural to lay hands on people when praying. Okay, we don't have to, but and it's a sign of I'm with you. And it's also a sign that you can steady them. Okay? We do stand to the side, which is right, which is what you've done, and we stand slightly to the front because we can see, because sometimes someone might be crying. So we can just see God is doing something. Okay? You might just see they've gone all peaceful and relaxed. Whatever it is, you're just looking for signs. What else are you doing, boys? As you're looking, who are you listening to? Who's that? God, yes, okay. Yeah, you're listening to the Holy Spirit because actually Holy Spirit can talk to you. He might give you a picture or some kind of something to encourage them by. Very quickly, I'll just share something that James shared with the group he was talking to. He said, well, I went to Soul Survivor once and we had a young lady in our group who had recently lost her father. And he really felt that he should go up to this girl and say, I really think your dad's would be proud of you. But James thought, I can't go up and say that because that might upset her. Because she might not be thinking about that. And I just reminded her that her dad's recently died. So he thought, oh, I'm not going to do that. Tell you what, God, I'll just go up to her and just sit with her and ask her if she's okay. So he went up to her, sat with her and said, are you okay? And she said, I am, but I really would love to know if my dad's proud of me or not. I'm pleased with what I'm doing. And James said, oh, he said, I felt God say that, but I didn't want to. And she was like, oh, thank you. But James knew that if he'd just gone up to her and said, look, I don't know if this is God or not, but I really feel that he wants to say that your dad's really proud of what you're doing. She would have gone, So we are listening as the prayers, we are listening just to see if God, we might not get anything, but is there anything I should be praying about? And you as the congregation, if you're not up the front, what your job is? What's their job? What's their job? Don't know? Okay. What would you like to do? What would you like to do if you're not actually involved up the front? Pray. Just pray. Not out loud. Okay. Gently. Holy Spirit. And someone else might get a word of encouragement or something that they could share. Okay. So that is, it's not long, but it seems long, doesn't it? When nothing seems to be happening. But don't be forced into having to say something because of fear. You know, or awkwardness. Just let the Holy Spirit for 5 minutes or so. And then if you feel that you want to pray for something, I just want to let you know that God loves you or something like that. Then you can do that. After the 5 minutes, or however long you think you've waited, pray for them. Okay? Simple prayers, not just whatever God's doing, just pray into that. Okay? Is there anything else that I've missed? Mike, is there anything else I've missed, you think?
That's good.
Okay? Now, we won't instantly... Oh, sorry. Fads? Yep.
The more you wait, the more he does. The more he does.
The more you wait, the more he does. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't feel that long.
Yeah.
But we kind of had to wait until, you know, there's a little comfort zone that you get, like, let's pray, and then you're like, okay. And then after 2 minutes, you think, this is enough, right? But if you go over that uncomfortable, like, this is enough now, and
thanks,
you're
guys.
Waiting, then the more he does as well.
Yeah.
So it was just being patient and being still in his presence.
Thank you. So that's what we're going to introduce to the culture of the green every Sunday. Hopefully, I'll finish earlier, so we can have some time. And we're not going to start the closing worship song straight away. There's going to be a time of ministry, so your job is to pray for people. Okay, not just turn around your own groups and start chatting and let's wait for the no. Be active in it. And then towards the end, we will then have our closing worship song, but that doesn't mean that we need to disturb what's going on. So what we're suggesting as well, that our closing worship songs are quite gentle. So it's not one of those rousing songs where, oh, you know, better get into it, you know, because it's one of those songs, but quite gentle, so that ministry can continue and not be disturbed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Green Street Green Baptist Church was known as a church where anyone could go to and be prayed for, no questions asked? They pray for you every Sunday. They don't even ask you what you need to pray for at the beginning. You just come and be prayed for. Apparently that's one of the things that Soul Survivor gets. They get people turning up every Sunday saying, I'm not a Christian, but I heard that this is the church you can go for to be prayed for if you're struggling. No questions asked. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So, I know we're over time. So if you've got a turkey in the oven, then why are you eating turkey? It's kind of, yeah. Please feel free to go. But if anyone wants to be prayed for, we've got some keen Soul Survivor prayers, and anyone else who would be willing to come up and pray for those who want to pray for. Anyone want prayer for anything this morning? Jesus said, if you're asking, seeking, knocking, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if anyone would like to respond this morning and be prayed for in this new style of gentle, come Holy Spirit prayer, then please come up. And don't come up just because you feel sorry for me. Because I'm going to stand here, we're going to stand here every Sunday. There'll be plenty of opportunities. But if you do want to come and be prayed for, thank you. Just come in the space there. What happens next? Some people come and pray for them. So anyone who wants to come along and stand with them, please do. And those that haven't come up to pray, you know what your job is.